This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
How have SMEs adapted to GST? What are the do's and don'ts in the next few months to ensure smooth submission of documents? You're listening to Resource Center. Good afternoon. I'm Frida Liu, and I'm here with Yap Shin Siang, the managing partner of YYC & Co. Welcome back, Shin Siang. It's been a while since we spoke as well. You know, so April 1st was the day when GST was rolled out, and it's 2.5 months now. Yep. You know, but before that, how did you help your clients ready themselves for GST?
Yep, we had two types of help. The first one is being full implementation. So the bigger companies, they had to look into their systems, they had to look into their practices. Mm. So we helped them about a year ago to start getting ready for GST, and it's a hand-holding program whereby until the last return, the first return, we will check to make sure everything is in order. So that's the first type. The second type, more for the SMEs. Yeah. They cannot afford the full hand-holding package. So therefore, we came up with 6 modules on how to train them to implement for GST. Mm-hmm. So that's a more training approach. And they go back and they implement themselves. Mm-hmm. And now, at the third phase, is where we are helping them with phone support services.
Okay.
As in, when they do their accounts, they don't know which tax code to use, they call us. Okay. Hey, Shin, which tax code? Things like that. Yeah.
So you get a lot of calls.
A lot, nonstop.
And as usual, everybody's last minute.
A very last minute.
Yeah. Okay, so what has it been like, you know, the feedback from the first 2 months of submission? And I always thought submission was actually after 3 months. That's not the case.
Yeah, for companies with yearly turnover of 5 million and above, their submission is every month. Mm-hmm. So some of the companies, about 20% are on a monthly basis. So they submitted their first GST return for the month of April in the month of May.
Okay.
So they have until the end of May to submit. So like you said, very last minute, we had a lot of phone calls. It was almost like every other minute there's a phone call. And they face actually quite a lot of problems.
Okay.
A lot of them thought that they just enter into the system and GST will just magic appear.
You mean it doesn't work that way? Okay.
Yeah. So in fact, after they enter into the system, they still need to churn out the return and to check whether it's correct or not. And we found that some of them, when they use the taxable supplies times 6%, they don't get the GST amount they're supposed to pay.
Mm.
It's a lot more or a lot less. Mm. So when they check and they find that out, they are really, really shocked.
Okay.
And they have to go back to the system in the details to check what went wrong.
Okay.
So that's one of the problems.
Right, that was April.
That was for May.
May, okay, so May.
The majority of companies will be in the month of July.
Okay.
Yeah, first return. So we anticipate
more calls.
Peak period then, yeah. No holidays.
That was your, but it was, I guess, good for you guys as well. So that was the 20% that had, because there's 80% coming soon.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Now, what are the common mistakes made in submissions or, you know, what are the common mistakes they make?
Yeah, most common mistake is wrong tax code. So, for example, they are supposed to charge, so it's SR, but they enter into not supposed to charge. EX or something like that. Okay. Another wrong tax code. Another thing is when they dispose assets, they forget to charge GST as well. So they thought it's only on sales, on revenue, but they didn't realize, a lot of companies don't realize that it's also on other income.
Oh.
Rental income from commercial property, for example, when they sell off an old computer, when they sell off something, you're supposed to.
I see.
Mm.
Okay, so these are the common cases. So, and you know, in your opinion as well, what are the areas of requirements that are still quite vague? Maybe the categorization, certain goods, and how are you advising your clients when it comes to these grey areas?
Yeah, some of the grey areas include, for example, a lot of people think when they export, they can automatically zero rate.
Mm.
But they do need another form called the K2 form, which is the custom clearance form. And they didn't know this detail. So this is a new client thing.
It's not new, just that
nobody really looked into the details. Mm. So what happened was we had a client, they send goods to Miri, but they actually bill Brunei. So they naturally thought that they didn't need to charge GST because they bill overseas.
Mm.
But they didn't manage to get any custom clearance form because the goods went to another place in Malaysia.
Right.
So that is actually standard rated and they are supposed to charge GST. So things like that, or they share a container with another company. So the K2 form is not under their company's name. So there's no proof that the goods actually went overseas.
Okay.
So these are just one example of the grey areas.
Okay. Mm. So when there's no proof, I mean, there is, what's the loss to them?
If there's no proof, they're supposed to charge 6%.
I see.
Mm.
So, okay. These
but they
are things,
didn't.
So what can you do in that area?
So they, for the first example, the Miri case, they just need to tell Brunei company that they need to charge GST.
Okay.
And for the Brunei company, they cannot claim back.
Yeah, because they don't have.
Because they are not.
They don't
pay in Malaysia. Yeah. So certain transactions may not be viable anymore, or they need to restructure.
Okay, in the second example?
In the second example, they need to export directly.
Okay.
Rather than go through, share the container and things like that, they may need to export directly to overseas.
Okay, so coming up, what are some more grey areas that you foresee?
Quite a few. In fact, one of it is the stock adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, there are missing stocks and things like that. So actually, at the moment, customs require, when there are missing stocks, to have a police report.
Mm.
But we have certain companies that are in retail, and they have missing stocks all the time.
Yeah.
So they say how to get
a police report for everything.
Report. Yeah, exactly. So in this sense, because there is no clear black and white answer.
Mm.
So it would be case by case when customs come and do audit whether they will accept that these items based on internal report that they are really missing stocks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I understand also there is a 2 years called a honeymoon period in a way.
We've actually seen some certain penalties being issued
already. What happened to the honeymoon?
I think it will be on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, if you've been really naughty.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now we'll talk about do's and don'ts when it comes to submissions after this. I'm here with Yap Shin Siang, Managing Partner of YYC & Co. Stay tuned to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's Resource Centre. I'm Frida Liu and I'm here with Yap Shin Siang, from Managing Partner YYC & Co. We're talking about the GST transition for SMEs. A very busy period for accountants, lawyers and IT professionals, I know, because of course we started this in April. You know, some companies already submitted monthly. Some will be doing their major submissions in July. For companies below revenues of 5 million, you were saying, right? Now, early on, you know, I was just talking about how there is a honeymoon period of sort, as in, you know, people expect there'll be a lot of hiccups and all that, but you're saying that there have been some penalties already. Why is that the case?
There are some penalties on companies who didn't register, number one. There's also penalties on companies that submit late, that one for sure. There's also penalties on the Anti-Profiteering Act.
Right.
That is under the Domestic Trade Department, whereby companies are said to have been charging, increasing prices unfairly. So I think SMEs especially need to watch out. Yes, honeymoon period, but also all these do's and don'ts, especially the mistakes, if they are if they are maybe on purpose, they may be viewed as a serious offence.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what other do's and don'ts when it comes to submissions should we be wary of?
First of all, output tax must be very accurate. So in fact, we find that some SMEs until now, they are not ready for GST. They don't have the people, or they have sent their people for training, but we have bosses calling us and saying, oh, you know, my staff has last minute resigned. They cannot get anyone. So they say, how now, Shin? What can we do? So
Hire us.
The least that we can ask them to do is their output tax must be accurate.
Okay.
So everything they sell, there must be the 6% must be accounted for accurately. But input tax, you can maybe claim later. So therefore, your accounts may not be up to date, but at least get the output in order first.
Okay.
And at least be able to submit something first. So that's number one. And number two, don't leave it until last minute. Because like I said, just recently we had a call that submission is in the next week or so. And they said they have not started, they have not hired anyone. Their staff left a few months ago.
So knowing the GST is happening.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people in accounts have just said, I don't want to do accounts anymore because they're very stressed. It's something very new to them.
Okay. Mm. What do you mean by input tax when they're buying things?
Yes, correct. When they are buying things, the tax invoice they receive from the suppliers and the suppliers will charge them GST. Okay. They can claim this back as input tax.
Right.
Yeah. So this will reduce the GST that they have to pay to customs. Mm-hmm. It will also reduce the cash flow outflow.
Yeah.
La.
Yeah.
So therefore, the correct way is enter all your output, enter all your input tax, and then you knock off pay to customs.
Mm.
But because of the lack of time and the lack of resources, some companies may need to, in their first submission, just output first, input as much as they can, then they wait until the next submission to key in again when they have the resources.
And then they'll be able to get the money back.
In fact, we have seen certain cases where in the first month, companies just claim input.
Okay.
Quite a few. Construction industry, for example, major exporters, and they have all received letters from customs saying that they are going to be checked. La,
okay, because there's no output.
Yeah,
there's no output.
Only input, getting money back from customs, refund. You know? So I think customs is very careful in that. La.
Now, okay, every GST rollout is a learning process, you know, both for the government and the business community. Do you foresee any changes coming up in the next few months?
There will be no major changes, but there will be tweaks along the way.
Mm.
So as and when already, Customs is coming up with DG decisions,
right,
because they want to further clarify the Act.
Okay.
Okay, so for example, a few AG decisions came out on tax invoice, whether you can still continue to use a handwritten tax invoice and things like that. So now they extend it until 30th September for handwritten tax invoice.
Mm.
But for certain industries, for this, they cannot use handwritten invoices anymore.
Like what industries?
Restaurant, hardware shops, books. These mainly in retail, they are supposed by 30th September go strictly on a post system or a computerized tax invoice. Well, in a way, it's good that customs extended the time frame. It was supposed to be 1st April, but also I think we have to bear in mind that
it's a cost to these retailers.
Exactly.
The moment you have to invest in POS and all that.
Yeah? Especially hardware shops.
Yeah.
They are a lot operated by owners who are maybe of a certain age and they don't
probably
know
not
how
very educated.
To use. Yeah, they don't know how to use computer to issue invoices.
Mm.
And in fact, we've seen some of our customers, the elderly ones, they felt really depressed, you know, after GST. Mm. They felt that they couldn't do any work.
Mm.
They can't issue it. They can't even issue an invoice.
Right.
Yeah. So if we look at overseas, some countries, they still allow manual written hand invoice. Yeah.
Okay.
We do see customs reason for making everyone these companies use software because it's most likely that they're very worried that it may not be a proper tax invoice.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think we need to consider the SMEs are in general, whereby they don't know how to use.
And they should actually give some tax exemptions for this, you know, in terms of investing in new equipment as well.
Yeah.
You know, because the cost is too, them, you know, as it is, they're paying tax, additional tax. They should get some exemptions if this is, we're talking about systems.
That's a good suggestion,
So we'll
totally
see.
Agree.
Okay, so many SMEs also may not meet the annual turnover requirement but have plans to grow, obviously, right? Now, is it a good idea for companies to register anyway?
If they have not reached the threshold of 500,000, we don't, there's no need.
500,000
per year.
Per year.
We don't see a need for these companies to be registered because there is a lot of work.
Mm.
Every quarter, they will need to submit their GST returns.
Mm.
And how to do that? You need somebody to key in your accounts on a timely basis.
Mm.
Compared to now, previously, a lot of these smaller companies, they do their accounts only once a year for income tax purpose.
Yeah.
So if these companies don't have the resources, we don't recommend them.
Why bother? Yeah.
Until they are ready, lah.
Until they're really meeting those revenues.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So, what's your advice to companies in gearing up for GST, though? You know, what I mean, just getting ready for those that are almost at that threshold.
Yeah. First, they need to attend many trainings. I think especially bosses need to understand what is GST, or else they may even do costing wrongly, you know.
Yeah.
Attending trainings, equip themselves, read on the updates because there's a lot. And also, some of our customers, they when they are not sure, they call us lah. So you can do things like talk to your tax agents, sign on certain support services so that if you don't know how to go about it, you can at least call somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Have them in your, you know, what, emergency list?
Yes.
Yeah, what, there's a word for it. I can't remember. Okay. Now, what are the penalties for non-compliance? You know, what's the process like and how do you deal with it?
Yeah. The penalty for non-compliance
is a very long sheet, your penalties.
Yes. Generally, is 50,000 or go to jail.
Okay.
And so...
That's the very least, right? 50,000 is very least. Or that's the maximum.
Per mistake. Yeah.
Per mistake.
So a lot of SMEs are very, very worried about that. And a lot of directors said, you know, the liability is very heavy for being a director nowadays. So therefore, we're asking if customs could come up with, if it's a genuine mistake, what could be done?
Yeah.
Could they report it on a voluntary basis and maybe the penalty be less severe? I think at the moment it's case by case basis. So if we could have something more firm on that, that would be better.
Okay, so yeah. So rather than, you know, will you be lucky or won't you be lucky? You know, so at least it's some clarity when it comes to that.
Yeah, because it's quite easy to make genuine mistakes.
Yes.
What if you claim wrongly? Just your staff have not enough sleep the night before and just enter one more zero at the
exactly.
back. Yeah. So therefore, I believe it's GST is transaction basis.
Yeah.
Mistakes are bound to happen. So it's to what extent that they can be, you know, lenient to a certain extent.
Okay. So because it is, you know, something that we're all still, you know, teething challenges and all that.
Yes.
Thanks for being with us. We must speak to you in July. Or maybe after July when you're less busy. Yap Shin Siang from YYC & Co. talking about GST transition for SMEs. This is Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.